Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When I was younger, somebody would have said to me, you have unlimited potential that can be developed. And number two, you're the only one that can develop it, but we can teach you, we can show you how. And third, the quality of your life is going to be in direct proportion to how much of your potential you access and express. It's really that simple.
This is the Reform Sports Project, a podcast about restoring healthy balance and perspective in all areas of sport through education and advocacy. Hi, this is Nick Bonacore from the Reform Sports Project podcast. Today I'm speaking with George Munford, widely respected mindfulness and performance expert, author, and speaker. George has spent 3 decades teaching mindfulness techniques to a number of corporate executives, artists, and elite athletes, including Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, and Kobe Bryant. George and I discuss how the perception of mindfulness has changed over the years, the importance of shifting how we value our identity, and why we should practice looking at life with a growth mindset. Let's go. I am fired up. I want to say he's an old friend. We spoke not that long ago. We keep in touch all the time. But last time we actually had a conversation was a few years ago. We just touched on that. And this was right when Reform Sports Project was really getting kicked off. So I'm super, super excited to have him back on. He's one of the leaders, certainly in his space, mindfulness, performance expert, one of the best in the world, Mr. George Munford. Mr. Munford, thanks so much for hopping on again, man.
Hey, man. It's good to be here. Good to see you, Nick.
Well, it's good. I'm excited to have you. I'm excited to get into everything. Mr. Munford, you've worked with the likes of, you know, Michael Jordan and the late Kobe Bryant and Phil Jackson and so many others of the highest performers in sport that we've ever seen. How did you get into this space of mindfulness and performance? And what's your history here?
Yes. So my history goes back to when I was in college. You might recall that when I was in college, I roomed with Dr. J. And I was in the basketball, but I got injured. And my career was pretty much over my sophomore year. And got addicted to pain drugs, you know, medications, and then illegal drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing. Then I got clean. And when I got clean, I had chronic pain. So I got into this process of using mindfulness to manage chronic pain. And then from there, I ended up working with Jon Kabat-Zinn at the Center for Mindfulness, Stress Reduction and Relaxation Program. They call it Center for Mindfulness now. So in that context, my mentor and boss, Jon Kabat-Zinn, used to do a workshop at the Omega Institute where he would work with healthcare professionals and they get certified to do this kind of teaching. And Phil Jackson at the time was there teaching a program called Beyond Basketball. It was a fundraising activity for the family of Eddie Mast, who was a teammate of his on the Knicks. And so the Bulls had just won their 3rd championship, and Phil was really interested in bringing somebody in to work with the guys around the stress of success. This was before MJ's father got murdered and MJ retired. So he gave me a call and we talked, and he realized it was really a good match because of my experience in that realm and being around elite performers. And that's how I got into it. So that's what started in October 1993. And then the rest is history.
Holy smoked, man. That is incredible. So like, you know, I feel like you were certainly, I was a young kid at the time, but I feel like nowadays it's so much more mainstream, right? You know, you hear athletes and such talking about mindfulness, talking about mental health is such a big component. Yeah. So like, how can every day, so you're working with elite performers and such, but like, how can, let's just say when you're talking about youth sports, or you're talking about everyday people, parents and such, how can they incorporate, let's start with parents, mindfulness and mental health and these types of things, you know, to help with their kids or even their own, you know, circumstances involving their kids?
Yes. So I'm known for working with the elite athletes, but I've worked at a medical clinic, a satellite medical clinic, and I've gone to schools and organizations and been teaching this stuff for in the closet for about 30 years. But I've been doing this for a long time. So it's really about, when you think about mental health, what is mental health? Mental health is the ability to see things as they are and to embrace it in a way where we still make choices in alignment with our core values and who we say we want to be or to be. To learn from experience and to continue to learn and grow and evolve as human beings. So mental health. So it's to be a mindful athlete or a high performer in one sport. You have to be a mindful person or a person in real life that's interested in excellence, interested in wanting to grow and evolve, wanting to live a life of joy and compassion. And to understand ourselves and understand the world better. And so that's what it comes down to. So it's not, I was a pioneer in bringing it into the realm of sports, but in actuality, most of my teaching was with just regular people and teaching them, unfortunately, like myself, the only reason I got involved in this because my butt was on fire and I had to do something. The traditional medical treatments didn't apply. I had to learn about the mind-body process and how to know myself, how do I work? How do I create space between stimulus and response? How do I respond to the vicissitudes of life? How do I respond to you know, dying, getting old, and all of the things that we have to deal with, just frustration of, you know, maybe we don't get the job we want, or maybe we don't even make a team we want to be on, or our team loses, or our team wins. We have to understand, how do we do this thing called life in a way where we're allowing our, what I call our masterpiece within, to express itself. So we all are wired for success, whether we play a sport or not. Life is a marathon. And like any other sport, you got to train for it. And like a marathon, if you start off too slow, too fast, it doesn't work. You have to find your pace and your place, I would say. So we all need this to be able to excel and to live a more creative, full life.
Do you find that there's been, you know, in the last, you know, you said you've been doing this for over 30 years, but it almost seems to me like there's been an, maybe, you know, a lot of people like to trace it to social media, or I think you can go all the way back even further to just, you know, the internet itself, right? Making it almost seems like the world has shrunk. And I think it's also shed light in many good ways and also bad ways, right? It's almost like that old cliche, ignorance is bliss. Sometimes I think back to my early childhood of the 80s and 90s when you didn't hear so much about everything that was going on. Almost the world seemed bigger, but there was almost a little bit of like comfort in that. But at the same time, knowledge is power. Do you almost feel like that there's been a pedal to the metal with anxiety? And I'm talking specifically about, you know, the culture in general, but in youth sports in general, it just seems like there's a need for hyper, there's a speed, like a race to this quote unquote result. Everyone's chasing something. Why do you think that that's come? And do you think that it's changed tremendously from, you know, when you first got started in the business 30 years ago?
Yes, well, it's more closer to 40. I just celebrated 38 years of sobriety in the last month. So it's, I think it's like just my own practice. I feel like there's been a lot of folks like myself, or some folks like myself, where I see myself like Johnny Appleseed, this legend about this guy that goes around the countryside just throwing apple seeds all over the place, and you circle back around and they take root, but they take root, and where they don't, they don't. But the nourishing of them, you know, obviously the soil, the sunlight, and getting moisture or water. It's important, but I feel like I've been doing this for close to 40 years, and I think it's starting to bear fruit. And I think people are starting, you know, it goes from, it's like any other thing. At first, it's, you know, cutting edge, and then as it started getting accepted, and especially where I worked in a medical center, it's where you have the combination of, you know, the science and the, I think the research, the science is catching up. And I think that's been helpful for that. And then people like Steph Curry, Kobe Bryant, and folks like that that are willing to step up and talk about this is how I do it, or even Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Talking about his, and as well as the other folks talking about their, you know.
And Michael Phelps and such.
All these folks dealing with, you know, Osaka and Biles, all of these folks talking about the stress and the amount of pressure they're under, I think that's helped. And I think, believe it or not, one of the benefits of the pandemic is that it's forcing people to look at their stuff. There's no place to hide. And I think that, just like me, when you get to a place where there's, you know, freedom is just another word for nothing else to lose. When you get in that place where you have to do something differently and you make a choice to do that, then people are open to it. But you're right, the social media is helpful, but it can also work against us sometimes. I remember having this conversation with Phil about, I think the New York Times talked about the mindfulness movement, and whether it's just a fad or whatever. And as a responsible person, you have to think, well, am I encouraging people or am I not? And then we came to the conclusion, definitely, that what we're doing, we're going to be doing when it's not a fad. We were doing it before it was a fad. It's a way of life. It's a way of being. So the fad is just a fad. If it's going to be a fad, or people are going to do it because they think the right thing to do, that shouldn't affect us. Our job is to keep doing what we're doing, to keep supporting folks to develop themselves, to reach more of their human potential. Cool. So to me, that's the thing. So yeah, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. What matters is this is what works. So I'm sharing my experience, strength, and hope. So I'm not coming from a theory. I'm coming from my own practice and my own experience working with elite athletes, but also regular Joes and Sallys that I've been working with the whole time that people don't even know about, and especially now in kids, youth, and their parents and their coaches and their teachers, that, you know, it takes a village to raise children or raise ourselves. So that's, to me, it's, who knows, we can speculate about it, but I think at some point when something's been around for a while, and if you keep planting those seeds, at some point they take root, and then you get a critical mass. And I think we've reached a critical mass some time ago where it's commonplace, whereas before I was a secret weapon.
Sure.
Couldn't really know what I was doing.
Well, what are the benefits of, like, what do you think the benefits of a child learning the basis of mindfulness, you know, particularly at a young age?
Well, the benefit is this idea of understanding that, just think about it. When I was younger, if somebody would have said to me, you have unlimited potential that can be developed, and number two, you're the only one that can develop it, but we can teach you, we can show you how. And third, the quality of your life is going to be in direct proportion to how much of your potential you access and express. It's really that simple. It's that, yeah, you know, we got masterpieces. We got, whether you call it Christ consciousness or Buddha nature, we have this. And of course, if they can get that, if I had it when I was younger, then I'd be able to make wise choices and really start thinking about, it's really, what do I want to do? How do I feel? And at the same time, how can I be me in the context of a we? And that's really important. But really being able to self-regulate, let's say, for instance. So they've done this marshmallow test. I don't know if you heard about this. It was a...
No, I don't think so.
Studio study. They took, I think, first graders or kindergartners, and they said, we can give you a marshmallow now, but if you wait, we'll give you two. It's like delay and gratification.
Yeah.
And so... all of these young folks, 10 years later, when they were, or whatever, when they were adolescents, whatnot, the ones that were able to delay gratification are the ones that are more emotionally and mentally healthy and that are thriving, versus the ones that couldn't say no, didn't have the self-regulation. So we know that. So if we can teach them how to be self-aware, how to self-regulate, or understand that they have more power, what they think is important, how they feel is important, what they do is important. And it's not like you're just going in as an amorphous thing. You have to get to a point where you make the assumption of a responsibility earlier and earlier in your life where, yeah, your parents are still going to help you or whatnot, but we start to teach, and we know this from the young folks that do well, is when the parents support them but hold them accountable.
Sure.
So, you know, that accountability, self-responsibility, self-discipline is huge. so we can get them to teach that. So we talk about mindfulness and just the mental training. That's part of it, but it's just to be able to understand the relationship between what you think and what you see, how you feel, and realize that if you get depressed or you get sad, how do I teach you to embrace it and then to learn from it and then move beyond it?
So what is the connection between mindfulness and performance? Like, why does a clear, present mind often help people achieve sustained success?
Because you can only do one thing at a time. And when you're locked in, when you're just focused, you're not distracted, and you have this ability to observe your experience uncritically, like a silent witness, then you start to see how things are connected. You start to see that when you train your body, and then you do your preparation of what you think's going to happen. They say luck is when opportunity and preparation meet. So you're preparing yourself, and then once you get there, you got to get out of the way and let your training take over so the mind can trip up. If we're in fear mode, I talk about the two wolves. You know, one wolf is fear, the other wolf is love. And the grandfather's talking to his grandson and explaining it to him. And the grandson gets concerned and said, which wolf will win? And the grandfather says, the one I feed. So we want to teach them how to feed the love wolf, not deny the fear wolf. Because we still need that reptilian brain when we walk across the street and the automobile's coming. We need to be able to not think about it, but let our reptilian brain survival mechanisms get us out of the way. And so, yeah, so we need to understand how we work and understand that we need to start training ourselves so that we're in partnership when we go to the doctor. We need to get them to a point where we understand how to relate to them before they get radicalized or tribalized or give their freedom to some outside agency rather than realizing that it's an internal locus of control and that they are responsible and that they can learn and they can become. And you can see some of the folks who make a decision early on, they want to be a doctor or they want to be a basketball player or they want to be whatever they want to be. And they commit to that and they don't let anything get in the way of that. You can see the independent agency or from dependence to independence to interdependence. This is what Stephen Covey talks about, the seven habits of highly effective people, that we come in very dependent, but we have to make that choice, that shift from dependency to independency to interdependency. How can I start to know how I can help myself and seek help from others? And then I can be more independent, or I can have self-reliance where I know how to do things for myself. Now, when I get on a team, when I get into a school situation where I have classmates, I know how to develop the me, but also to realize that the we is going to carry the day. In other words, it's for the group, the greatest good, or whatever. So it's just mentally healthy, or instead of talking about mental health, we're talking about mental wellness, where if you're moving towards higher levels of wellness, then you're going to be able to adapt and change and adjust and manage these difficulties, these challenges that are going to come. That we'll be able to meet the stress with enough resources to meet the demand, the challenges. When I talk to college students in a couple of weeks, and when they go in as freshmen, they have to realize that if they don't know who you are, you could end up being anybody. And if you don't know where you're going, you could end up going anywhere. So you have to have a plan. You have to know who are you intending to be? What are you intending to do? So this awareness is tantamount from moment to moment decision making. Having that space between stimulus and response so that what you do is in alignment with your goals, with your core values. So that's why it's really important. When you do that, then not only are you going to, you know, you're going to have great performance, but you're going to have a great experience.
When we return, George and I talk about identity and the importance of learning from mistakes.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Welcome back. Where we left off, George and I were about to discuss the importance of authenticity and how to look at life with a growth mindset.
I think it was Bill Russell. I could be wrong. But I've heard many pro athletes, many people who have been to the highest level say this. It's like, you know, they were told, or they will encourage kids they coach at a young age to let them know, like, hey, it's important to be all in and all those things and be fully committed. But what your sport is, or what you do, let's just use sports, for example, you're a basketball player. You play sports is what you do. It's not who you are, right? Identifying, like,
yeah.
Like,
yes.
Where's the healthy line there? Because listen, I can tell you from my experience, like when I was a young kid, and I certainly wasn't the greatest athlete ever, but I love being referred to, hey, I was a baseball player.
Yes.
But where's the healthy line to draw so that we're not tying our identity and our self-worth into performance, right? There's got to be a line there. How do you, you know, navigate that?
Yes. Research is very clear about when somebody has an elite performance, if we say you're just a great basketball player and, you know, you're just amazing, that's fine on some level, but it's more important to commend effort. That, you know, you got that through your effort. And so you distinguish between who you are and what you're doing, but at the same time, who you are is going to be expressed in what you're doing. So it's a little bit complicated, but it's really saying, because here's the reality. When Bill Russell was in Boston here with John Havlicek, they were somewhere, and the guy came up to Bill and said, are you a basketball player? And he said, no. And so when the guy left, and John Havlicek said, Russ, why did you tell him you weren't a basketball player? And that's when Russell said, that's because that's what I do, not who I am. Because now if we do that, when we make a mistake or we have a bad performance, now we're not saying we're a failure. You just notice, okay, that's what you do. You learn from your mistakes, but you're not a failure. So you understand what I'm saying? So it's like you have to do it where you say, well, you're not a basketball player. You identify with that. You know, you're a high school or whatever, but you're becoming. So that's just a kind of a shirt you have on for the time being, or a coat or a garment. But it's going to change, because even if you stay in that same garment as you grow, you're going to have to get another garment. So you just have to be clear that you play a sport. This is what Russell says. It's a sport. It's a game. And when you finish the game, you go home and you got to be who you are. On some level, that helps us. But on another level, it hinders us. Just like me, when I got in recovery, my teacher told me to stop identifying as I'm a substance abuser instead of talking about, you know, I'm in recovery. So I'm not identified with it, because how we see ourselves is how we behave. So if you identify as a baseball player, so when you go to interact with people, or you're going to school or something, then your interpretive screen is that of a baseball player. So you're seeing things in that way. So we have to be able to get out of that, be open-minded, or to put on another perspective. If I'm a doctor, then I'm going to focus on diagnosis. If I'm a businessman, I'm going to focus on the bottom line. So we have to realize that we have that screen on, and realize that because baseball is what I do, I'm much more, because I'm only playing at a certain percentage of the time. So I'm a person. We have to understand that we play these roles, or we're in these roles, but we have to be able to separate ourselves from the roles, so we're not thinking about balls and strikes when we should be thinking about algebra and English.
That makes a heck of a lot of sense, man. Quite frankly, George, I get kind of mesmerized listening to you, man. It makes me, like, you know, inventory a lot of things, and I love it. Mr. Mumford, when you look at some of these greats, you know, the GOATs that you've coached, and just to name a few, the late Kobe Bryant, and of course, Michael Jordan, and any of the others that you've worked with, even Phil, of course, from a coaching standpoint, what are some things that you can pinpoint that they had in common? Like, what are some things, like, man, they just had that? And was there a common thread between them? And two, is it something that was intrinsically in there, or is it something that could be developed to help them get there?
Yes. Thanks for asking. It could be developed. But I remember a resource years back with a book called Kamen's Book on Expertise and Expert Performance. And the number one reason people cite for somebody becoming an elite performer is the desire to succeed. And so it's having that ability to be self-disciplined, but also the want to, the seeking, pursuing excellence. You know, everybody says, oh, well, I want to be like Kobe. Then when I say, well, this is what is required, they say, well, I didn't sign up for that. So you have to have an ability. You have to be teachable. You have to be humble. So when I think of these folks, it's, and usually it's after adversity. I mean, MJ, a lot of who MJ became was because he got cut from his high school basketball team. And he realized that he didn't want, he'll never get cut again. And so by the time I saw him work with the Bulls, I was always amazed that he was acting as if he was trying to make the team. So I think that's it. They're always looking to get better. You can go to Magic, you can go to Larry, you can go to Dr. J. They're always working on their game, but there's a level of intelligence, a level of what we talk about, what I talk about in my book, is this ability to have the faith, but to have the ability to focus and sustain the effort and to be committed to what you're doing and not getting distracted. So it's really more about them accessing their masterpiece. That's the core thing, is they're expressing their own particular way, because we all are unique. So our job is to access that masterpiece within and have the want to, have the desire, the willingness to succeed, and the self-discipline it takes to be able to do it. And so I think it's, like I said, we talk about luck a lot of the time, but it's preparation and opportunity meet. So to me, it's not the physical as much as it's their mental, their emotional, their spiritual, or their just getting access. I'd say authenticity, sincerity. I'd say being who they are. I'd say that would be the main thing. It's unlocking, letting their masterpiece express itself. That's what they all have in common. And there's a process or processes one can get into. I talk about it in the Mindful Athlete Secrets to Pure Performance. And it's just really just figuring it out, having a coach or having mentors, having a community to support you. So we know that people succeed when they have three things, according to Sean Accor, 75% predictability on having this ability to have what they call positive genius, or I call it the Hall of Fame, hope, optimism, and faith. So that you're optimistic, you're looking at life from a growth mindset where you're seeing what's the lesson. You make a mistake, you learn from it, and that's how you level up. Second thing is social support, having people around you who are sincere and can give you honest feedback and they support you being you, not being who they want you to be. So that support, that could go from your nuclear family all the way out to coaches and mentors and getting outside instruction. And the third thing is this idea of seeing crisis. And this is what I taught the Bulls when I first started working with them. They were in crisis. But when there's a crisis, there's two meanings. There's two things happening. One is danger, which we get. The other one is opportunity. So the whole key is to see things as challenges, not to see them as crises or curses. So to see things as a challenge or just an opportunity, and that's the things that they do. They embrace the challenges and level up. So that's where the inner work, that's what I talk about, the inside game. You have to understand how do you keep yourself in that hope, optimism, and faith. That's how you get to the Hall of Fame, the HOF.
Man, I can't thank you enough. Mr. Mumford, George Mumford, I'm just so grateful for your time, for your willingness to come on and share. And, man, you get me. And I know our audience is going to be so fired up. We're so lucky. So thank you so much, man, for coming on.
Well, I appreciate it, Nick.
That's George Mumford, renowned mindfulness and performance expert.
Thanks for listening to the Reform Sports Project podcast. I'm Nick Bonacore, and our goal is to restore a healthy balance and perspective in all areas of sport through education and advocacy. For updates, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or check out our website by searching for the Reform Sports Project.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.